This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The always amazing Pete Vutek joins us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pete, welcome to the show, buddy.
I'm glad you think so. Can you sell that to like my family and other parts of people in my life that I'm not just amazing, I'm always amazing?
I will say I'll do it, but there's a price. But I work in radio, so you know I'm cheap.
Fine. Aren't we all? Seriously, everything I wear has pretty much been given to me by some school or something. I do not cross streams. I do not wear, a Missouri T-shirt and San Diego State shorts, but I do have pretty much my entire wardrobe is from something that somebody has given me at some point.
We've covered this, but my birthday just came and went, and I refreshed my entire wardrobe because my wife was like, he's not going to ask for anything, so I'll just buy him 5 new shirts. So I look like a new man this week, Pete.
As I was told by a past girlfriend, don't wear stuff that has words on them. I basically am a pure violation of that at all times at this point in my career. But yes, I could use 5 new shirts as well.
You're a writer. You should get an out on that. Words are cool. Will Michigan State push Ohio State this weekend?
A little bit. Look, Ohio State's playing at the varsity level now. Now, fortunately for Ohio State, just when you think in this game that Michigan State might have an inkling of a chance, Aiden Childs will throw one of his 4 interceptions. But that's good. It's kind of the good and the bad with him so far is that he's great. I mean, he's a great young quarterback for Michigan State. He's going to be a problem for the Big Ten for the next couple of years. But he just has this little problem of throwing lots and lots of picks and misfires. So he might have one of those types of games where he only completes 42% of his passes, but for like 250 yards with 2 touchdowns and 4 picks. So there will be a few moments there because, now Ohio State's playing the varsity level. Now they finally get a game against a Power 4 team. They'll win. I've been saying all year long is the best team in the country and they're going to play for the national championship and all that. But this is one of those games where it might not look quite as easy as Buckeye fans are used to. But that explosion will kick in. Michigan State's on the rise. They're going to be better, but they're not there yet.
Pete, I still think the only concern I have about this Ohio State team actually isn't Will Howard. It's the O-line. I think they're better when they're on the move in the ground game. I do not love the pass pro. Can an offensive line cost you a Big Ten title or a playoff game?
It certainly can win you one. Look, Michigan did it. And that's, and look what they did last week against USC. I mean, basically when it comes down to it, it's the offensive line. And I've been preaching this more than ever now. I mean, especially with the way the NFL's going, where now, you don't have 300-yard passers for some reason right out of the gate. And it's kind of trickled down a little to how college is working, where obviously the Shedeur Sanders of the world, they're throwing it all over the place. But who's winning games is really dependent upon whether or not you can get 40-plus carries in. It's just one of those weird stats. Well, if you're running it 40 times, it means you're probably doing something right and control the game, control the clock, control easy third downs and all that kind of stuff. So it's not just the number. But it does seem to be that thing is if you commit to the bid, this isn't the NFL where you have to mix it up, where if you have a good offensive line, just keep bashing away. And that's what Michigan showed last week where, drip, 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 and then boom, the dam breaks. That happens against defensive lines over the long course of the game. So, yeah, the pass protection could stand to be a little stronger. But it's also part of the system where you've got these amazing receivers and you want to let time for the play to develop. But with this O-line for Ohio State, worst-case scenario, just keep handing it off and eventually good things are going to happen.
Pete, as we look at Ohio State, is there anybody else in that division right now besides Michigan? Kind of got back on track last weekend. But besides Ohio State, anybody new that came in the division, you think they can handle it?
I don't think I'm not sold on Oregon. When they actually beat someone really good, I'll buy it. And even if Ohio State loses to Oregon, I'm still not going to quite buy it. That offense, that's an offense that's just, they get crazy yards per attempt and yards per catch, but that's all run after the catch. It's really a kind of a quick hitting dink and dunk kind of offense, which I think should suit the Buckeyes all right. But no, I'm not really sold on just any of these others, anybody else. I mean, look at who's, you know, down. Wisconsin's way down. Nebraska, no. I mean, you know, Michigan State, again, not really. You know, Washington's going to be an interesting case. You know, Washington, Illinois, there's a couple teams out there that have been, you know, plucky. But no, I don't think there's anybody there who's going to really push Ohio State unless they somehow get USC at some point. Because USC's going to have that offense humming by the end of the year. Their defense still isn't amazing, but it's better. But that's one of those teams that could, on the right day, certainly hang, at least hang with the Buckeyes.
Pete Futek, College Football News on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bama's totally winning this weekend, right?
Bama, I'm still sold on Georgia. Georgia's just one of those teams. We've seen this happen before. Remember a couple of years ago, Kent State has them in trouble in the fourth quarter. And then the other year, Missouri had them in big trouble and all that. Georgia just sort of rises up and rocks when it has to. I mean, look at what Clemson's doing now. Everyone's kind of blown off that, you know, Clemson scored like 120 points in its last two games, and it got held to 3 points and was shut down to a dead stop when Georgia was fully focused. The Kentucky game, I think, freaked everybody out, but we kind of know how this team works. There's going to be an initial rush of lots of big things happening from Bama early on. But over the course of the game, I just think this is going to be a methodical win for Georgia. I do really love Bama. I do think that they are probably the 5 seed in the college football playoff. And this might be the first of 3 meetings between these two teams. But, yeah, I kind of still think Georgia is just a hair better. I'm not quite 100% all in on Bama yet, even though I do love him. I do love Jalen Milroe.
So, Pete, UNLV has a couple unfulfilled NILs. One with their quarterback, one with their running back now. They both decide to leave the program. What's your take on this right now?
It seems like a different situation for both. One seems more like a playing time thing. The other seems like there's a – it's still way murky. Doesn't seem like a whole lot of the UNLV players are too, you know, bent out of shape over losing Matthew Sluka. But if what he's saying is correct and some assistant said, hey, look, we're going to get you $100,000 if you come here, and he's only gotten 3 – all right, I kind of get it, you know. Welcome to the business of college football now. This is how this thing, you know, sort of works. It really overall kind of goes to the problem that there just is not any semblance of just control. You don't have unfettered free agency in professional sports. You don't have this is like old school where you hear these stories, you know, where the Hall of Fame player goes into Vince Lombardi's office asking for a raise to $25,000 a year. And he said, no, get your hair cut or something. You know, it's basically what's happening here. It's just really kind of a strange situation. And you're going to start seeing this. I mean, because, you know, if you're a player, especially if you're do not have pro aspirations, this is your one shot to make a whole lot of money. So, you know, if you can make it somewhere else, then I guess go do it. You know, come bowl season, coaches leave for better gigs. They quit on their team. I think you're going to start seeing this a little bit more and more with some of the players as well.
So in all of this, UNLV decided to stick with the Mountain West instead of going to the Pac-12. Now all of a sudden the Pac-12 is having to sue the Mountain West so to avoid paying like $60 million in restitution for stealing programs. How do you think this ends up for the Pac-12? How do you think it ends up for the Mountain West?
By the way, what's hilarious about this, to talk about perspective, how low rent this is, Joe Burrow is going to make more this year than the entire Mountain West teams combined in media rights. Like, we're not talking about, like, hundreds of millions of dollars here. We're talking about 5. You know, basically, we're just not talking about these, you know, a whole ton of money with this bunch. I don't get it. I mean, something's missing here because if you're UNLV, yeah, my thought was, you're holding out for the Big 12. Like, how has anybody not grabbed UNLV yet? Everyone wants Vegas. Everyone wants Vegas. The old Pac-12 wanted Vegas to be the hub. Certainly the Big 12 wants to run its games there. You have the teams who are playing all these Las Vegas. The Big Ten just played with USC and LSU in Las Vegas. Everyone wants Las Vegas as a hub. Why don't you have the school that can get you that crowd in that city? It just doesn't make any sense. But for whatever reason, UNLV has not been able to come up with a better deal yet. And what's weird about this, too, is, like, what else you got in the Mountain West? Okay, so UNLV and Air Force, your anchor tenants in the mall, with, what, New Mexico and Wyoming and Hawaii? There's not a lot there to that. And you can't really go offer anybody anything else because you only can pay out about $5 million a year to school. So who's going to jump into the Mountain West and take that? So it's a really strange kind of kitten fight of a situation here between two conferences that are still going to be well below the Power Four.
So, Pete, we're in week five of college football. Are there any surprises right now that stand out more so than anything, especially rolling into a new playoff?
How about Indiana and Rutgers? I mean, you're talking about two teams. They're not going to win the Big Ten title. They're not going to, but, they maybe even throw Illinois in that mix, too. But Indiana's actually pretty good. You know, they're not getting, their starting 22 is pretty solid just because Kurt Cignetti has won everywhere he's gone. He took all the good players from James Madison, and all of a sudden, that run defense is a brick wall. Curtis Rourke, you guys probably know him. I mean, very, very good quarterback who I'm kind of shocked it didn't get a better gig than Indiana. He's a good veteran quarterback who's playing really tight. They don't make mistakes. They don't turn the ball over. And, they're gonna be a bowl team, and they're going to come up with an upset here or there. And, let's see what Rutgers does this weekend against Washington. Washington and Rutgers have basically had the exact same season so far. And while Washington plays in the national championship last year and Rutgers is Rutgers, Scarlet Knights could win this. And so all of a sudden you've got, these two also-rans, in the conference, whoever traditional doormats, are actually, going to have some pretty decent records. And then let's see what Illinois does this weekend. I mean, Illinois's got a team that is just playing well enough. They can wing the ball around a little bit where they could be dangerous as long as, the whiteout at Penn State, as long as all the white T-shirts don't scare them too much.
Yeah, James Franklin's a coward if he goes whiteout against Illinois. What are we doing here? I'm taking Illinois in the points this weekend. It's 19.5. Am I crazy?
No, you're not, because Penn State should win. But Illinois is good enough to hang around. Again, this is not kind of the Illinois of the last couple years. Luke Altmyer can throw. So there's going to be just a little too much explosion. I mean, Penn State fixed the glitch. Remember last year they couldn't throw a deep ball? I think they're number two in the nation right now in yards per completion. So they're starting to figure out how to air it out a little bit. Illinois doesn't quite have that much of a punch to answer. I don't think they have enough to pull it off. But, 19.5 seems like an awful lot.
Pete, you're the best, buddy. Appreciate you. Again, about $10,000 an hour for me to voice these things to send to your family. No pressure. Whenever you get around to sending that check.
It's on its way right now.
Good man. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Pete.
Pete Futek on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I think I'm taking Bama, and I do think I'm taking Illinois in the points this weekend. I think this is going to be a wild weekend, and I'll be honest with you, Ohio State's only a 23.5-point favorite against Michigan State on the road. Maybe I'm putting a little too much into how Marshall went, but this could be an interesting weekend. Every once in a while, baseball situations come up there, Jason, that you're like, oh, this would be a great moment for that big play. And obviously, the Reds had tied the game up at 2-2. You want the win. You don't really need the win, because you've already secured a top two seed, right? You've already secured the AL Central. So, like, you want it because you want to try and keep pace or at least get a jump on the Yankees. And you got two guys on. Hosey steps up. You're like, man, wouldn't this be nice for a spot for a home run? And then he just annihilates a baseball.
It was a great swing. I talked about it earlier. Jose, when he's going great, the inner half pitch, when he gets to it, it's a beautiful thing, and he did it all night last night. He had the triple, he had the double, he had the home run right there. But the fans were electric. They're chanting, Jose, 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 and it was amazing. I'm sitting in the stands watching it, and it just brought back some great memories.
Well, it's so funny because you know, I tweeted this, and I want to get your take on this. Like, earlier I said, if Hosey and Stephen Kwan both go on tears at the same time, that might be the number one factor in winning a World Series.
Yeah, I agree there. And I think, you know, offensively, you get those two guys back. And we talked about it. Stephen Kwan being healthy right now at the right time. You know, first AB, home run. That gets everybody jiving right now in the dugout. And to have it happen at the very end of the season, rolling into the playoffs, they're playing great baseball, they've got their pitching staff lined up the way they want it, it's going to be fun to watch.
Well, and now, like, I'm not watching these games not just to see can you get the one seed, can you get the win. Like, it's so weird. Like I said, you've got most of everything accomplished. And last night's game felt like a playoff game as I was watching it, knowing the one seed's still out there. Right at the time, the Yankees were down to the Orioles. They kind of seesawed back and forth. I think it actually went to extra innings, and then the Orioles got the win. So I'm watching it with that in my head. And then, you know, the other part here, and it has just not been talked about nearly enough, is Hosey is now just two home runs and two doubles away. So he's two home runs away from a 40-40 season, which only six other players have ever done. Ohtani did it this year, and the D upped everybody by going for the first 50-50 right. ever. But... So it's only happened six times for 40-40s. Then you go to a 40-40-40 season, which is 40 homers, 40 doubles, and 40 steals, which I think only Soriano's done. I think Soriano did it when he did a 40-for-40 in 2006.
And he did it a couple times.
Yeah, and like, well, you remember the year before, he was one home run away from doing it back-to-back years. I just think it's so, I've seen so many great seasons from so many great players. I think it's been lost how great Jose has been this year, because he did have a little dip in the middle of the season. Everybody else kind of had a dip, but I don't think I'd ever see a player, Jose or anybody, to do 40-40-40, or at least have a really good chance with three games to go at going 40-for-40.
Well, and I think from a fan's perspective, I think outside of Cleveland, a lot of people underestimate how good Jose Ramirez really is.
Mm-hmm.
He is a MVP candidate year in and year out. He keeps the glue together for this team. He's not the one that wants to be in the limelight, though. He is not one that wants to be on air. He's not one to take credit. He goes out, he plays his position, he does his job in the middle of the lineup, and it is a fun team to watch right now. On top of it, going for 40-40-40, it's immaculate.
Well, I'll just say this, man. I think this builds the Hall of Fame case. If he gets this year, and he's already... like right there, third baseman. It's a known thing. Like third baseman, their numbers suffer a little bit because of the brutality of third base. So like, you know, Michael Jack Schmidt hitting, I think, 400 plus home runs. That got him into the Hall of Fame. Scott Rollins being a consistent Gold Glover. But you look at his offensive numbers second half of his career, they cratered. It didn't matter because people give you that benefit of the doubt. But you have to have that season. And what's funny with Hosey is every time he's had that season, somebody's had that season that is one quarter notch above. This year, it's Aaron Judge going, you know, chasing triple crown for most of the season. And so he's not getting the MVP. But I still think whether it's 40-40-40 or just a 40-40 season, I think that's the kind of season that you can go back to and go, that's the kicker that gets you into the hall if you don't have the postseason success to fall back on.
No, and I would agree right there, Nick. And I think if we were to ask Jose what he would rather have, an AL MVP or World Series ring. I think we both know the answer to that. I think he would go and say, I want that World Series ring. And they have a chance right now with where they're at and the way they're playing the game and with the opportunity to be the one seed to get that.
Who's more important to a World Series win, Jose or Kwan?
I'm going to say Jose. I'm going to say Jose with that because – we saw in the 10 days, even if you didn't have Stephen Kwan, you can still put somebody up at the top of the lineup. If you don't have Jose producing, though, in the playoffs, you're not going deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's funny. We're talking about the regular season part of this. Speaking of the legacy stuff, I think this could be a huge offseason, or sorry, a huge postseason for Jose's like belovedness around baseball.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Because it's not that he has been bad in the playoffs, but he just, you know, there was the 2022 run. In 2016, 2017, 2018, Frankie got a lot of the pub on those teams. Like, this is an opportunity where if he does hit two home runs in the next 2 days or the next three games, and then you roll that right into a playoff run, and he is the face of a playoff run offensively. Like, again, I think it solidifies his case as a Hall of Famer. Takes him from maybe fringe to maybe surefire.
Well, and if the pitching staff stays the way they have all season long, the bullpen does what they're supposed to, Jose could put this team on his back. Mm-hmm. And I think, for him, he might want that as they push deeper into the playoffs. That would be the big kicker. Can he put that offense on his back and carry it?
I also think there's another part of this, because we're a big a statue town, and obviously the Guardians have a lot of great statues outside of it. If Jose finishes his career here or plays to the end of this contract with the Cleveland Guardians, I don't know, because the word greatest, you get mired in stats. You get mired in, but maybe at the peak this guy was a better player versus this guy. I don't know a player has meant more to an organization than Jose has meant, because he is the one guy that stayed, the one guy that took the team-friendly discount. And so if on top of that, he's the guy that's the most important player on the championship team, I don't know how he doesn't become the most important player in franchise history, even if you can say, this guy had a better peak, or this guy, Albert Bell's four-season stretch, capped off by 95, that's the most dominant performance ever.
I mean, you could look at Jim Thome, right? But he left at his peak. He mm-hmm. left to go get more money, unfortunately.
Same with Manny.
Right, Manny left and did the exact same thing, finish out in Boston. So when you think about legacy side of it, and you think about statues, yeah, Hosey could be that man. I mean, he already has a field named after him here in Cleveland, and it's fun to be a part of. But to have the legacy and to carry it on, he's a fun player to watch.
So we got greatest. We've got, I think right now what I consider Hosey is the most underrated, but we've got most important. How do you classify Jose's greatness to this point and where this thing could be going, especially if they're finally able to win the first World Series in, 76 years in Cleveland?
Well, I would say most overlooked player that doesn't get enough credit across the board mm-hmm. nationally. And that's the unfortunate part. We get to see him on an everyday basis. So when you put, greatest of all time, you put legacy out there, I would put that he is up there top five, of Indians Guardians players right now.
And it's funny, I think if you ask people outside of Cleveland, they're going to give you Manny. They're going to give you Albert. Depending on how old they are, maybe if they go all the way back, maybe a Larry Doby, maybe a Rocky Colavito. They must be really old if they go there.
Bob Feller.
Bob Feller.
Right.
But I do think, they've had postseason success, but he hasn't been the face of it, And even in 2022, yeah, he was the face of it. That wasn't a good offense. And so once you got into that high-profile series against the Yankees, man, you didn't have the steam, and he made some big plays, but it wasn't consistent enough. It really is only going to take him taking over one series, be it the ALDS, ALCS, or World Series, for I think at some point players do become too impossible to ignore. And listen, if we're being fair, because you've talked about Hosey's very understated, I think we can all guess that Hosey speaks better English than he lets on. But I think what is so endearing about him is he doesn't want it to be about that. Like, I don't, like, it's so funny, man. A lot of guys, like, I remember, like, I can't remember if it was, I think it was Ricky Rincon, who was just like, yeah, I'm not learning English. Not interested. And it was taken a certain sort of way here because it was like, well, you know, hey, man, be one of us, right? Hosey somehow, in not doing press and using the, I just don't speak very good English, even though none of us believe it. Even though people have said on the record, he actually speaks really good English. I think that in a way becomes like the most endearing thing because it's kind of that, no, it's not about me. It's honestly a very blue-collar way of, no, I don't really need to talk to the media. I don't really need to get my face out there. My play will speak for itself. I don't know if there's anything more Cleveland than that.
Well, and he's very quiet, but he has a large stick, and he's able to utilize his defensive measures to do exactly what he does every day, and that's be productive.
I'm a little immature, so we're going to have to watch the phrasing there.
I knew you were going with it.
So one of the things that has happened on the show, no matter who the host is, you'll notice we call the Salt and Vinny's, where my eyes light up, and it's because something you said started getting my brain, which works in the worst possible ways, it does start to get a churning. And so I was like, don't distract him with the Salt and Vinny's. Don't distract him with the salt. I distract you with the Salt and Vinny's.
Thanks,
it's okay.
Thanks a lot.
216-474-0092. What's the superlative you put to Hosey and Jose Ramirez and what he's done to this point in Cleveland? Because if you wanted to say most beloved, I think that's fair. And it's so funny, man. That was not a big crowd last night. But that reaction was 50,000 strong. And I think if anybody else hits it, it's not that they don't love him the same. It's no slight on those players. It's that dude is loved to a different degree here in a way. And I've never seen a player where we almost don't care that nobody else gets how great he is because we watch it every single night.
Well, and it was a scenario. At that point, tie game, 2-2, late in the ball game. Guards are still trying to go for the one seed. And it was prime situation. You have two guys on base, and Jose comes up in a perfect situation and absolutely hits just a moonshot.
We're having a nice little break here because I'm going to try and omit the name as much as possible. But a couple weeks ago, a listener of our station filled me in on the situation that's going on. And if he's listening, You can hit me up on Facebook, and I will share your name, but I'm going to protect his name mostly from his potential wife's name. So he's getting married this Saturday. Are you pro-fall weddings or are you anti-fall weddings?
So I had my wedding in the fall, and the only reason because of that is I was still playing.
Yeah.
So I had to either do it early spring before spring training or fall right after the World Series if we were to make it.
So this makes sense. Like, I think ball players are a little immune from this. Anybody whose schedule isn't compromised by being married to, getting married to a ball player, fall weddings, what are we doing here?
So going back to that, I will be basically looking at, I will not show up if it's my best friend's wedding in the fall. I have too much stuff going on.
You can't. Yeah.
I mean, the fall is my time to watch football.
Mm-hmm.
Watch baseball when it really matters, and to be in a tree stand and not be bothered.
Yep. So it's interesting you say this because, one, my Vanessa's family could not care less about sports. And they're very sweet about it to me. Like her parents always ask me, oh, did the Browns win? And the answer is usually no. But, you know, like they're very, very kind about it. But if they were being honest, they just couldn't care less. So we might be facing down another wedding or two in the future, and I just know when it's going to happen, and I just know it always leads to some sort of, it's not a fight, but tension between me and the wife. Well, one of our listeners is getting married this weekend. Super good dude, one of our big listeners to the station, and he clued me in on the problem that, you know, so they're getting married, I believe, on Saturday, and then on Sunday, they leave for their honeymoon. And she is not a Browns fan. As a matter of fact, the verbiage that was used is she hates the Browns.
Oof.
Now, I don't know if that means she's like a Steelers fan, at which point, red flag there. I'm just going to tell you. Or if it's just she hates sports, which is a whole nother thing to deal with. But his conundrum was, you know, they're leaving on Sunday. They're driving, and they're going to be driving for a while. So this is, I believe they're going somewhere in the Carolinas. So his question was basically, you know, can I slyly do this thing where on Sunday, can I time our stop when we stop for lunch or dinner around football, or am I kicking the beehive's nest because she doesn't like the Browns? So I want your take on that before I give you my take. What do you have on that?
So two things there. If I'm marrying somebody that doesn't like sports and doesn't like my team, that's a red flag for me. Like,
feels that, a little personal, right?
That's a red flag, and basically says, honey, I don't care that you like sports. Number one, you're being selfish by having us get married in the fall on a Saturday when college football is at its best right now. Mm-hmm. Number two, if you're driving on Sunday, you have to make a stop. Somehow, some way, he has to figure out how to say, we need gas, we need a snack, we need some food, maybe find a dog and make sure that that dog is traveling with you, and make as many stops as possible where that dog has to go to the bathroom.
So my rule on this is, I'm, and I think Vanessa would agree with this, I'm pretty upfront. If there's something that really matters to me, I'm almost too blunt. So I would go, listen, I don't care you don't like my team. We're getting married in the fall, which I'm happy. I'm so happy to be married to you. But if you can't, the day after we get married, if you can't give me 3 hours at like a B-dubs to sit down, chow on some wings, and watch my team potentially lose to the Raiders, I don't know what we're doing here. Like, this is the ultimate, because here's the thing. You got to get gimmies early in the marriage, right? There are certain gimmies you got to get, because if you don't get them now, you're not getting
them. Right, you're never going to get them.
It's the idea of the two things you have to do in a successful relationship. You have to establish boundaries. My therapist told me that once. And you also have to, it's like the idea of the non-negotiables. So I'm not saying I'd hardline. Like, I know that there are other guys listening and be like, I'm just going to, I'd just be like, listen, I'm marrying you. All right? I'm committing. Every, you know that there's going to be like a Hobby Lobby Saturday that you got to go to, the honey-do list. I'm committing to this. I'm not saying you have to like my team, although that feels, I'm going to go back to this, wildly personal.
Right.
Like, if she just doesn't like your team, she's either a yinzer, which again, red flag, or there's some deep-seated, I maybe just don't like you that much, even though I'm going to marry you. So I'm going to go back to this. I think he's got to say, and if he's not comfortable doing that, you got to do it on the sly. You have to. Yo, honey, there. I heard that this wing spot in Concord, North Carolina is said to be the best one. Lie. Right? If you don't feel this is, listen.
Now, is that considered a white lie, though?
No, it's called a blatant lie.
That's a blatant lie. So, I mean, right off the get, you're going right into a marriage where you're lying to your wife.
I subscribe to the philosophy 90% honesty.
Fair enough.
Because I've tried 100% honesty, and it has gotten me 100% in the doghouse. So, and in fairness, I'm sure that she's like, she probably has come to the realization 90% honesty probably works best as well. That 10% can be the difference between happiness and suffering for anybody in any relationship. I feel like if the thing you're lying about is, there's a Browns game on the TV. I thought they played at 1. It's 4:25 there, buddy, just in case you forgot. I feel like if that's what you lie about, I think you're in the good, right?
Oh, all day long, right? And I think for us, maybe getting a little bit more information on this. You know, you're getting married. Did you both choose this date, first off?
No man chooses a date. Let's just be honest.
But you have to agree to it.
Well, yeah, that's right? Different. That's different from it being chosen and you having to, well, I guess if I want to get married to you, I do have to go right? along.
So you got to go along with it. So I'm not going to say you're making that mistake, because this is somebody that you love. So ultimately, you're giving in on a Saturday. You're losing out on football.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a compromise, right? It's a relationship, a marriage especially, is about give and take. So this give and take, you're giving up your Saturday to marry the person that you love. So in retrospect, she's got to give up her Sunday as you're traveling to say, honey, let's go ahead and watch your game that I don't care about.
And if we're not going to lie about it, the spin zone is I want 3 hours on our honeymoon. You get every other hour that you want. We'll listen to your music that I don't like. We'll listen, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the problems with your parents, whom I don't like.
Right.
Well, like, and by the way, that wasn't me saying that about my in-laws. I love my in-laws. I'm not trying to jam myself up here.
Man.
You know what the one thing I want to know about that I should have thought to ask? Do you at least, is she okay with TVs being on at the reception so people can watch? Because that, like, if I was going to do a fall wedding, I'd need at least two big screen TVs. Because Bama, like, again, the reception's going all night. Bama, Georgia, 7:30.
Oh, yeah.
Ohio State is a 7:30 kick. This weekend's got a lot of good college football. If you want people, because the best way that you're going to get rewarded by the people that come to your party, and by that, I mean, like, money, right? We love the gifts of the best way is if you're like, hey, college football fans, don't worry. We're going to have TVs here for you to watch. So that way you don't have to watch it. I'm just saying, like, that's the thing I need to know. Because if she didn't okay that, maybe, you know, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Maybe throw this one back.
Well, you know, at the same time at that reception, somebody is going to be having a TV or their phone muted or maybe with earplugs that, you know, that they're listening to the Ohio State game. And there's got to be Ohio State fans going to the reception.
216-474-0092. A listener who shall remain nameless to this point. He's a good dude, so I'm not trying to blow him up. Listen, if his wife might be listening, if he's listening with her, I'm not trying to end this thing before the marriage happens on Saturday. But he's getting married on Saturday. They're leaving for the honeymoon the next day. His wife hates the Browns. How do you sneak the game in? Are you honest? Are you upfront about it? Or do you lie through your teeth